My name's Ian, I'm one of the ministers here, and between me and Vicky, another of our ministers, will be leading the worship this morning to, sadly, an empty church building, but a full church, in that the church is still gathered together at the same time to worship God. You are welcome to the worship this morning. Before we start the worship, I want to ask for help to contribute towards this morning's service. Coming up on the screen right now is our contact details. There are two things we need from you for this morning's service, and it'd be great if we are inundated with messages and emails in the first part of the service. It'll be too late at the end of the service. The first thing we want is, what question would you like to ask of God? What if, when you meet God, or when you meet Jesus, what will be your first question to him? And I'd love to have your answers, and we'll pick them up as we get into the sermon later. So can you WhatsApp me or email the contact details on the screen, my question to God is, and then just say what it is. The second thing is, as part of this worship, we're going to take up a bit of time to talk about the fellowship and fellowship news that we have. What news do you have that you would like to share? It might be something like Vicky has noticed as she sat in the garden on yesterday, was it, you had 10 minutes, that we have blue tits in our bird box, which is the first time we have had it since we've been in Romford that we know of. They might have been there before. So that's part of her news. What's your news that you would like to share? Now, obviously, we would love to share. If you can make it short and concise, that would be really helpful, because we're not going to do the whole service sharing news. But what news would you like to share for the fellowship? The sort of thing you'd say to somebody as you're coming into church and say, oh, this has happened to me this week. Share your news using the messages, the contact details that are on the screen at the moment. We look forward to hearing from you. If you can't read the screen, my email address is ibunts@romfordbaptist.org.uk, and the WhatsApp message number is 07900 943 335. And so we come to worship. Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for those, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We are blessed. We are blessed by God. So come. Now is the time to worship. We sing.
And indeed, we can come. Let us come to God in prayer. And so, loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for that invitation that we can come to you in worship. And our worship's not just here on a Sunday, but our worship is part of our everyday, all day. Funny, confusing, uncertain, scary, joyful, wonderful lives that we are living at the moment. We recognize that we are sometimes facing uncertainty and feel an overwhelming sense of fear and weariness and just questions about what's going on. But Lord, we also come at times when we are just recognizing how great you are, how mighty you are, how even in the midst of the doubts or the questions, we can come to you knowing that you are the Creator God, the God who is bigger than all that we face, the God who loves us and who sent his Son to die for us, the God to whom we can come just as we are, knowing that you love us and you accept us. And Lord, we come before you now. We ask you to forgive us the things that we have done in the past that maybe has displeased you. We come before you in our weakness and in our strength. We come before you with joy. We come before you burdened. We come as we are, but we recognize that you are mighty. You are wonderful. You deserve our thanks and our praise and our adoration. You are our Heavenly Father. We are your children, and you love us. And so we come. We come with gratitude and with thanks and with joy and with certainty that our hope is in you. And for that, we give you thanks. Amen. I'm going to read the whole of Psalm 138 this morning. You might want to turn to it as I read it. But that wonderful psalm that starts off with these words, "I will praise you, Lord, with all of my heart. Before the gods, I will sing your praises. I will bow down towards your holy temple, and I will praise your name for your unfailing love and your faithfulness. For you have so exalted your solemn decree that it surpasses your fame. And when I called, you answered me. You greatly emboldened me. And may all the kings of the earth praise you, Lord, when they hear what you have decreed. May they sing of the ways of the Lord, for the glory of the Lord is great. Though the Lord is exalted, he looks kindly on the lowly. And though lofty, he sees them from afar. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the anger of my foes, and with your right hand, you save me. The Lord will vindicate me. Your love, Lord, endures forever. Do not abandon the works of your hands." And as we are in our homes or in our rooms or in wherever we may be this morning, we are God's handiwork. Psalm 139 reminds us that he knows us intimately because he was there at the beginning of our life. And he knows what we are like, and he knows who we are, and he knows all that about us. And we have that reminder here in this psalm that he will not abandon us. His love is faithful. And so we have so many reasons to praise God, and we're going to do that in our next song, 10,000 Reasons. And indeed, isn't it great that today, wherever we are, we can worship God's holy name. And we have so many reasons to do so. And last week, we challenged you to send in a picture of yourselves with a text, or even if you couldn't manage that, just to send the text and we try and put it on, maybe with a picture of yourself. As we looked at those Bible verses that we come back to, maybe at those times of difficulty, but particularly at those times when we are fearful, when we are questioning. And we did that in the reminder, in the context of the women having gone to the grave and being confused why they didn't find Jesus' body there. Excuse me. And you've done a phenomenal job once again this week. It's great to have some new faces too joining in with the challenges. And you'll see that as you watch our video in just a moment. This is the moment, I know some of you find this quite an emotional moment, so if you need your tissues, grab them now, but do you know what? You have blessed our socks off, and we hope as you watch this video, you too will be blessed by the verses that so many of us will hold on to. Enjoy. There is a real mixture of emotion, isn't there, when we watch that kind of video. Not only are we reminded of the encouragement we can get from one another through the verses that we've given, but also just simply by seeing one another's faces. And I know that for many of you, you are finding it really hard to be on your own and not seeing other people. But to have this opportunity through this simple medium of taking a selfie and sending it in and then being seeing it together on a Sunday, together wherever we are, watching that video, seeing one another's faces, it's wonderful to remind ourselves that we are one body, separated currently, but united because of our faith and our love of Christ. And I know I've not done this for a couple of weeks, but I love it when I wave to everybody, and I know that there will be some people at home who will be waving back at me, and I can't see you, but I know when you tell me during the week if I've spoken to you, you'll send me a message. It's great. It's just one of those ways that we feel that we are part of one another, being together, that being familiar, the familiarity in uncertainty. But if you have looked at your notice sheet this week, we really have set you a challenge for this week. And we're starting next week a new series on restoration. That's the title of the series that we're going to be looking at in the forthcoming weeks. And we have set you a challenge as to how you can come up with maybe a picture or an image, or you want to create something, or you want to send a text in that kind of to you summarizes something to do with restoration. Restoration can sometimes be restoration from things in our past. It could be restoration that we have maybe been out in our gardens and we've been trying to get something back to life again, and through our efforts, restoration has happened, and this plant that you thought had died or whatever it may be has come back to life. Maybe somebody else, restoration is in terms of recovery from past issues or from past health problems. Restoration can mean all sorts of things to all sorts of people. And so our challenge for you this week, send in a photograph, ideally again, of yourselves if you can. If you can't, you'll see that this week we've had some new faces included in that we've managed to put with the text that they have sent in. That's another opportunity or another way for you to do it. Maybe you want to send in a photograph of something that has been restored either by you or by somebody else. And for you, that's what restoration means. Restoration, as we will discover in the forthcoming weeks, can mean all sorts of things. But what does restoration mean to you? That's your challenge for the week. And if you look at the notice sheet, it says, can we get 100 this week? So there really is a challenge. Please get them sent in by Wednesday evening this week. Wednesday evening, that's going to be our new goal and new timeline going forward. So you've got 3 days to get yourself sorted on that particular challenge for this week. One of the things that we asked, or Ian asked at the beginning of the service, was to send in any news that you may have. And it's been really good to see that some of you have responded. And so I'm going to share some of the news that we've had. And if you remember last week, we gave our greetings to Ruth Nichols for her birthday last Sunday. And I know I spoke to her earlier in the week, and she had mixed feelings about a birthday, a significant birthday where she wasn't going to spend it particularly with her family, but she had a really lovely day. And she had so many cards and so many phone calls, and she's really grateful to all people who enabled that day to be a really special one. And I was also chatting to Wesley and to Florence, whose picture we saw on the screen. And just over last Friday, I think it was, the 17th of April, Wesley celebrated his 90th birthday. And they had another wonderful day, different to what was planned originally, but through the medium of Facebook and WhatsApp, with phone calls, with cards that came in, they had a really good day. And so belated birthday wishes to you, Wesley, for just over a week ago. And it was lovely to know that you continue to dress up and come to church, albeit sitting in front of your computer screen. Another birthday we've been reminded of. I know Sally had a great birthday earlier in the week. Today, birthday greetings to Favour for Wunmi. You are clocking 14 today, so birthday greetings to you today. And another event that's happened during the week. We've got some people connected to our church, members and others who are connected to the church. You've started to start sewing for some of the NHS scrubs that are needed. And so I know Glynis and Susan Young and some of the other people who've been connected in with one another are beginning to sew and help support the NHS in a practical way this week. And it's great to know that some people are really getting on board in a practical sense. some other news that's come in this morning, but also during the course of the week when I've been chatting to people or via the meeting place. Some thanks. Thanks that we've had time to clean windows. Well, whatever, if that's what you want, thanks for that. Thanks for having time to clean the windows or to do the garden or to do the spring cleaning. Someone else, Julie, sent in thanks that she's had the chance to slow down and rest without feeling guilty about it. And yes, I'm sure many of us can identify with that. Another message of thanks. Ruth and Andy are really grateful that they were able to get married just before lockdown kicked in, and they wanted to take this opportunity to thank everyone for prayers, for the love and the cards that they've received, but also recognising that they need to continue, as we do, to offer prayers for all those whose plans for getting married at this time have been put on hold, have been postponed. And we pray for all that practical stuff, and so they wanted to recognise that too. Another thanks that has come. Oh, actually, it's my opportunity to say thank you. It was lovely chatting to our family in Vienna and discovering that Lucy, for the first time since early March, had gone out into the park. The parks have reopened in Austria or in Vienna, and she was out blowing bubbles for the first time for a very long number of weeks. So she was out blowing bubbles, and it's really good that we're able to share that news with her. Jean Eek, who many of us have been praying for this over the last, well, number of months, actually, she has sent a message in to say this. I felt it would be a really good opportunity for me to say a big thank you to all of you who've prayed for me, for the regular phone calls and beautiful cards carrying very many meaningful texts that I have received. Your prayers have been answered in many different ways, not only for my mobility, but also with answers to the many problems I've encountered along the way. I no longer have the severe pain. If you remember, we were praying because she could barely move, unable to go to bed at night because of the pain that she was in with her back. I no longer have the severe pain, and I can walk around the house again. I have yet to gain a lot more confidence before I venture outdoors, although I have managed to sit in my garden during this lovely weather. And her text was on the video, and it continues to say, my prayers for all of you is to keep safe as we travel along this path together, and that a lot of goodwill will come out of this as more people realize the love, kindness and sacrifice that we're all experiencing at the time helps to make the world a better and happier place. Jean, I apologize for stumbling over those words. Some of the other things that have come in, Sarah Johnson, she's thanking God for the beautiful sunny days, which make staying at home far more pleasant, and I know many will echo that as well, Sarah. Gordon and Barbara, they received a surprise afternoon tea sent by Damon and his wife Tracy, and they have yet to finish it. It is absolutely lovely. What a lovely way to bless somebody else with. And that was from their son and his wife. Janet from Salisbury's sending a message saying, what an amazing week of sunshine, the smell of tree blossom in the air, an overwhelming message of spring. Carla, we are delighted, and thanks to everyone who's been praying for her. She started her new job on the 21st of April, and all is going well, and we're delighted to hear that, Carla. And again, we'll notice, and we will be praying for Brian Sharp in the prayers of intercession. But Brian was well enough to go and sit in the sunshine in the garden yesterday. Praise be, he says. And and Priscilla and Rodney have sent in this message. It's literally just arrived. It was a wonderful Across Havering Zoom prayer meeting last Sunday at 3 o'clock. With the Havering Mayor, sharing in prayer with one another. And they're also thanking God for the beautiful sunshine, for birds, for song, bird song, and for the kindness of lots of people. For the elderly lady who was helped to cross the road with her shopping from Sainsbury's Hornchurch, and then a young couple who offered to take her shopping to her car. All of us are being mindful of the challenge of social distancing, and this lady was having to put her trust in Rodney and Priscilla to help her with her shopping and for the lady to take her home. But these small things are bringing the community together. we have got so much to give thanks for. At the same time, we are going to share in a couple of bits of news from our BMS team. And you'll know that Louise and Pete are out in Bangladesh at the moment, and they've sent in an email, and I thought it'd be really good if we catch up with their news too, because we do pray regularly for them. And Pete and Louise say that they've been in lockdown since the 25th of March. It first began with the schools and colleges being closed, then the offices, then churches and gatherings, then public transport, including flights to and from the UK. Although they don't have any plans to leave, the British High Commission is providing them with very up-to-date, accurate information, and they are well aware that their plans may need to change. But the situation in Bangladesh is this. Cases are increasing, affecting people of all ages, and half the cases are in Dhaka. Over the past week, the lockdown measures have been tightened, and they're under curfew from 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. From the sound of the streets, the police are enforcing this. And yesterday, the police banned all uses of private cars in Dhaka, and all travel in and out of the city was stopped. That means the city of 20 million people are meant to stay put. They've been less than half a kilometre from their house since the 15th of March. As a result, the lockdown is causing immense hardship for everyone who earns their wages daily. The queues for food distribution are getting longer and longer. And as they do go out, even for a short moment or two, they are constantly being asked for money. Workers in the garment factories have not been paid the salaries that they were promised. And once again, it's the poor who are facing the brunt. BMS have given the churches in Bangladesh an emergency relief grant. And so each Friday, they sit down and plan the distribution of much-needed relief to the poorest of those around them. But they have a list of 3,000 families, all who have no work and no food. And they've had to work out who to give what they have to. They know how the disciples felt when they looked at the crowd and said, "We haven't enough money to buy food for all these people." So they're deeply grateful to everyone who has given to the BMS appeal, and they continue to work this out week by week. And they conclude by saying, "Thank you for your letters, emails, e-cards and prayers. They are following the news here in the UK very closely and are really grateful that their family have stayed well and virus-free, recognising that there are many others who have been more directly affected." And another one of our mission partners that we support and pray for regularly are the Diddy and Teddy out in Bulgaria, and they too have sent in a message. The situation in Bulgaria is that they expect the high point of the pandemic curve to be within the next few weeks. And again, like in Dhaka, the main large cities are under restriction. You can't go out even for a walk or to the park or to a public place. And they have to hold documents when they are out to say that their trip is unavoidable. If you're caught out without that documentation, you will be fined the equivalent of about €2,500. Although there's no instruction on churches to stop meeting, most churches, like themselves, are doing services online. And so far, they've had one person from the church sick with the coronavirus, but he left hospital healed once again, and for that they give thanks. They do have a number of people who are under quarantine at this time. In the building, every one of their tenants continues to work because they feel safe in the building, and they've introduced some drastic measures to limit access and promote hygiene. But keeping the centre going is a lot of work. But importantly, their tenants are paying the rent, which is important because the church has no collections, as there's no church services. But many of those in the church aren't doing well. Many have lost jobs. Schools have closed. Students are working online, and everyone is struggling. And the daily feeding program that they have undertaken for so long to the homeless people has been cancelled by the municipality in Sofia, because it's classed as being a dangerous gathering of too many people at the same time. But it's those people who are in desperate need of food and they're trying to find a way that they can resolve that going forwards. Sophie is back from Cambridge, and she was isolated on the third floor of Teddy and Diddy's home, and she's now through that quarantine period. She continues to study online. And many of us will know Amy, and Amy and Chris got married last year, and many of us will know that Amy and Chris are expecting their first child in June. And we heard this morning, and we will be praying for Amy and Chris, that Amy has been taken into hospital. She's got preeclampsia and things aren't good at all, and of course Chris can't be with us. So we will be praying for Amy, and I'm sure many of you too will pray for her and for Chris and the whole family at this worrying time. And we will be doing that in a short while as we come to our prayers of intercession. Much of that news, joyful, thankful, concerning, overwhelming, if we think about some of what we've heard from Bangladesh and from Bulgaria, some of what we may ourselves know from our own families and from our television screens. But it's news that actually just brings us up to date with one another. And as Ian said, you know, it would have been the conversation we may have had as we came into church Sunday by Sunday. And so it was really good just to catch up with one another's news, to give thanks to God. And we're going to continue to give thanks to God, but recognizing even in the face of enormity and overwhelming challenge, we can raise an alleluia because our God is bigger than all that is going on. And so I invite you to sing, "I'll Raise an Alleluia." And so we come to prayer. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the reminder that we had when we met together at the prayer course that sometimes we come to you feeling that we can't talk about the things that are big or small to us because it somehow feels too overwhelming. And yet, as we were reminded, and as we have been reminded already today, whether we think it's small or big, to you and to your capabilities, nothing is beyond the possible. You are a God who is, who can do the impossible, and you can do mighty and many miracles and amazing things. And so we come before you at this time of prayer, recognizing that maybe we are feeling overwhelming, but we recognize that you, as our Heavenly Father, have all things in your hands. And yes, that may leave us with questions. And yes, that may leave us wondering how we will face the future. But we're reminded again that you are greater. You are more mighty than all that we may be facing or fearing. And so it is in that confidence and with that security and with that knowledge we come before you. Bring in the people who and the situations that are here on our notice sheet or those that we've already heard today. Lord, we do lift up Amy and Chris before you. We particularly pray for that baby. And for Amy, they are in hospital and Chris is unable to be there. Lord God, just intercede in that situation as you have interceded in the lives of so many in the past. Lord, we bring them before you. We bring before you all those who we hold close in our hearts as well as those who are on our notice sheet. We recognize that in many ways we can do little, but you can do mighty things. And so it is in that security and in that confidence we come and we pray. We pray too for the many, many lives that have been destroyed and affected by the loss of their loved ones. Whether it was through COVID-19 or because of other situations or circumstances, Lord God, we bring before you every single person who needs our prayers at this time, who needs the prayers of comfort, who needs the prayers of strength, who needs the prayers of peace, who at this time we're unable to maybe say farewell in the way that we would. Lord, we pray that you will be in each of those homes, with each of those people. Lord, the people who have died aren't numbers. They're not statistics. They are lives, and they have left behind loved ones. And we pray for all those that we know ourselves, those who we find on our notice sheet, those who we know in our work settings, those who we know because we hear it on the news. Father God, we bring before you all those who are grieving, all those who are struggling, all those who are journeying through maybe the last few hours of the lives of their loved one. Father God, as the Lord who is the shepherd, go before and walk through that valley of the shadow of death with them, we pray. And we do pray for those on our front lines. We pray for those who are there trying to be the hands and the feet to show your love at those times. We pray for those who are weary. We pray for those who are struggling. We pray for those who are just waiting for their next day of rest. Father God, strengthen them, we pray. Give them the power and the courage to face each day as it comes. And we pray too for those of us who are struggling physically and emotionally and spiritually at this time. Lord, we come before you and we ask for that miracle that we can see the light at the end of the tunnel, because you are the light, you are the hope, you are the strength, you are our courage and our confidence, and it is in you that we know that we can face day by day all that we are facing at this time. Father God, we bring before you our prayers and the many situations that we know. And we know that we can continue to pray for our brothers and sisters in Bulgaria and in Bangladesh and in each of the situations that we are familiar with. Lord, we bring these things before you now. And we know that you will hear our prayer. Amen. Hopefully you will have got your notice sheet today, over the weekend. If you don't get it, you might need it, because any of the midweek activities, which includes the Tuesday prayer meeting, journey, the virtual meeting place on Wednesday, or Wednesday at RBC where we're continuing week three of the prayer course, you will need the Zoom details. They don't get put on the website. You need to have them. So if you don't receive the weekly notice sheet, email the office or the contact details at the end of the service to get those Zoom contact details. Our youngsters will be continuing to meet with Youth Stream at 12:30 and Student Stream later today at 6:30. And they have a quiz night on Wednesday. I gather it went really well last week. So I encourage you, if you've not joined in, join in. It was a really good time to be had. All the rest of our notices are on our notice sheet. We'll meet again tonight at 6:30 using the same link as you're on now for our evening worship. But do, if you don't get your notice sheet, email in and you can keep going and seeing the prayer needs that we have and the news and the things that are happening week by week. We're going to have our reading this morning. And thank you, Sue, for being willing to record this and send it in. And it's from Acts chapter 1, verses 1 to 8.
This morning's reading is taken from Acts chapter 1, verses 1 to 8. Jesus taken up into heaven. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed them to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when they met together, they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth."
Quite often we would take up our morning offering as we sing a song, and we're going to sing a song that's a new song to us. But before we do that, on the screen now are going to be the details for those of you who are able to give week by week. and directly into the bank account. We thank you for all those who have continued to give in that way or through the website. And we recognise that many of you will be holding on to your offerings week by week until we are able to gather again. And so before we sing, I'm going to just say a prayer. Father God, we thank you that we can continue to give through the wonders of technology and through the practical ways that we are enabled to do so through our banking systems. And Lord, we thank you for those gifts that have come in. We thank you for the work that's continuing both here and across our world as week by week we seek to show and declare your goodness to those around. And so, Lord, be with us. Use those gifts, we pray. And we thank you that you bless us so much. Amen. And we're going to have a new song. Maybe you don't know it and you might just want to enjoy listening to it as the words come onto the screen, which again reminds us of the story of Easter and how we can continue to declare Jesus as the King of Kings.
What a great song that is, and there's a challenge for the worship group to learn that one for when we come back together. Such great words. Thank you to the observant ones who have contacted us to point out Vicky's mistake, not that she ever makes any, but she announced the evening service wrongly. It starts at 6 p.m, not as Vicky announced. So 6 p.m. is the evening service. So next week we are starting this new service about being restored. But as we go into that series, we're going to just start by focusing in on our questions. I've had many questions sent in, thank you very much. And there's one that I'm not quite sure I understand. Bernd asks, what is the purpose of me being so good looking? That's Bernd being good looking, not me. We might want to send in answers to that, which we can forward to Bernd. What is the purpose of Bernd being so good-looking? Somebody else, I don't know who it was, because their number came up, but not their name. What was your intention in creating the world today? Matt asks the question, what's on the other side of the black hole in space? JJ asks, why do we matter so much to you? And somebody else who I don't know who it was because then only their number came up says, what's the most disappointing thing that mankind has ever done? Gigi asks the question, why did you allow good people to suffer or die, even young, when we pray to you during the travails that you save them? Peter Feinstein asks the question, why do you allow so much suffering? And Grace asks, when is he going to end this deadly virus pandemic outbreak and have mercy over all the whole earth? Bernd sent the second question in, what will the new normal look like? Samuel asks the question, what pains you when you see suffering in the world you created and see how we have destroyed the beautiful earth you created? Do you regret ever putting humans on earth? Julie Kelly asks the question, what could I have done differently, Lord? And what's going to happen to those people in the world who have never heard about Christ? All these questions coming in, all questions about different things. And we all have our questions to God. And as that reading that Sue read this morning, and thank you, Sue, for videoing it, we have there a question. The disciples still struggling to understand. And the question they ask there in Acts chapter 1. Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? They had their agenda. The disciples had their wish. They had been waiting for thousands of years for the Messiah to come. And now they have a question after Jesus was risen from the dead. They had journeyed with him, and this is about day 50 after the resurrection. Jesus had met with them, he'd talked with them, he'd shared with them, but they still did not understand. They still did not understand. Are you going to now restore the kingdom to Israel? They were fed up with Roman rule. They were fed up with it not going quite as they expected. Are you going to restore? And maybe in our understanding we ask similar questions about God, as we did in some of the questions that are coming in. God, are you now going to make it all right as we understand what all right looks like? Questioning Jesus. Questioning God. Jesus, when are you going to do that thing we are waiting for? Please do it now. Please make everything correct now. We have the myths of living happily ever after, and that Christianity is immune to the realities of the world, and that if we are a Christian, we should never suffer in any way. Much of the understanding of what God is about is leading us to disappointment, because we believe, sometimes wrongly, as we interpret Scripture to our own ends, that it's all going to be perfect. Prosperity gospel, and the fact we're going to be blessed and blessed and blessed and rich, and that we're going to be immune from any problems going on in the world. Yes, good, bad things happen to good people. Christians do suffer, as they have always done. You just need to ask these disciples, who will end up being persecuted for their faith, to being killed, to going through difficult times. Yes, bad things happen to good people. They are killed even today. They are killed or imprisoned for being Christians in countries like Nigeria and Turkmenistan, North Korea. There are still today people being killed for their faith and their trust in Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, as we have already indicated, Christians get sick and are not healed. Christians die or are promoted to glory. Followers of Jesus struggle with difficult things. Bad employment, poverty, debt. So what's the point? What does it mean to follow Jesus if he will not fulfill my agenda? He will not answer my small print. If he will not do what I demand, what is the point? They asked Jesus, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Are you going to end the suffering now, Jesus? Are you going to stop this challenging world we live in? Jesus gave them an answer. As he gives us an answer. And he gives us this answer: it's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and to the ends of the earth. So some timeless principles about following Jesus. It's not about the temporary, it's about eternity. We are called to live in this Good Friday world, to be a part of it, to make a difference, and to challenge. But in eternity, we will see heaven, and our eternity is secure in him. Following Jesus will bring opposition and difficulties, as it did for the disciples. And we are called to do good in a broken world. Our faith should be making a difference in the way we live. We are called to challenge, we are challenged to give our all to God and for his purposes. Do you remember that old song, "I want to serve the purpose of God"? In my generation, I want to give my life for something that will last forever. The second verse, I want to build with silver and gold. What is on your heart? Show me what to do, you say to Jesus. Let me know your will, and I will follow you. Jesus' response to their question is, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. But it's not for you to know. I often get in the email box a word or a prophecy where somebody is claiming infinite knowledge that the scriptures do not have. And so often, those prophecies come and go. I'm not knocking the prophetic word, but we need to be careful how we measure it and not claim for us knowledge that was not for us. The Bible does not tell us everything about what's going to happen. If the Bible was to tell us everything was not going to happen, we would be scared stiff. But what the Bible tells us and what God tells us is enough for us to put our trust in Him and to follow Him and to know He is going to restore, He is going to make a new heaven and a new earth. Things are going to be all right. I have read the final chapter. It's going to be okay. So let's not claim knowledge that was not for us to have, but to know that we will receive the Holy Spirit, that we will be His witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. What does it mean to be a witness? A witness gives an account for what they have seen and what they have experienced. And today, let us give an account for what we have seen and experienced in our relationship with God. We are called to demonstrate Christ in our lives. We are called to let Christ work through us where we are, where things are difficult, where we are called to go. Restoration. Are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Was the disciples' burning question. And we have shared our burning question. What would we ask God if we could ask Him one thing? Maybe we should be asking the question, what's the one thing God has asked us? And maybe it's about the way we have lived. You will be receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be His witnesses. Let us pray. And Father God, we thank You that You believe in us. We thank You, Lord, that Your Holy Spirit is invested in us, that we can be Your witnesses and we can reach out to Your world. And so, Lord, we now pray that You take hold of us with our questionings and help us to again put our trust and our belief in You, and to know that You have called us to live as Your disciples. We go on, Lord, in this Good Friday world, trusting You and believing that all is well. Amen. Our final song, It Is Well With My Soul.
Blessed are those who stay indoors, for they have protected others. Blessed are the unemployed and the self-employed, for their need of God is great. Blessed are the corner shopkeepers, for they are the purveyors of scarce things. Blessed are the delivery drivers and the postal workers, for they are the bringers of essential things. Blessed are the hospital workers, the ambulance crews, the doctors, the nurses, the care assistants, and the cleaners. For they stand between us and the grave, and the kingdom of heaven is surely theirs. Blessed are the checkout workers, for they have patience and fortitude in the face of overwork and frustration. Blessed are the refuse collectors, for they will see God despite the mountains of waste. Blessed are the teachers, for they remain steadfast and constant in disturbing times. Blessed are the church workers, the deacons, priests, and bishops, for they are a comforting presence in a hurting world as they continue to signpost towards God. Blessed are the single parents, for they are coping alone with their responsibilities, and there is no respite. Blessed are those who are alone, for they are children of God, and with Him they will never be lonely. Blessed are the bereaved, for whom the worst has already happened. They shall be comforted. Blessed are those who are isolated with their abusers, for one day, we pray, they will know safety. Blessed are all during this time who have pure hearts, all who still hunger and thirst for justice, all who work for peace and who model mercy. May you know comfort, may you know calm, and may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen.
So thank you very much for being with us at Romford Baptist Church. Please do join us again this evening at 6 p.m. for our evening worship, and in the week as outlined on the notice sheet. God bless you.